turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I want us to pay attention to a statement made in verse 14. Jesus was writing to one of the churches, one of the seven churches of Asia. Of course, John was recording it, but actually it was a letter from Jesus Christ, and these are the words of Christ. And he identifies himself in verse 14 as he was writing to the church of Laodicea as the Amen. I was thinking about whether or not I've ever preached a subject on us saying Amen, what it actually signifies and what it actually means. I think I have at one time or another. But years ago, I remember Brother Perrigo preaching a message on how appropriate it is for the people of God to say Amen. I remember his text, it was taken from the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, where it says, all the people said Amen, and he did a wonderful job. That's about 27 years ago that I remember that particular message. It was seared upon my heart and upon my mind, that particular message on saying Amen. I don't know if I'll address the subject the way he did or not. But I want us to note that in this particular passage of Scripture, that Jesus identifies himself as the Amen. I heard about a man who was frequently sat on the front seat, and he just said Amen, 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 Amen. Just about everything the preacher said, he said Amen to. Deacons got a little concerned. They said, you know, he's saying Amen at the wrong time. We need to sit down and talk to him. So the deacon sat down and said, look, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to watch out when you say amen, because sometimes you're amening things that shouldn't be amened. And he said, okay, I'll try to do better. So he was sitting there one day and he was holding it in, holding it in, holding it in as the preacher was preaching. And he just finally just busted loose and said, amen, hit or miss. Well, we got some hit or misses, I guess, in our amens. But this word, amen, carries some deep theological meaning. It's a very important word in Christendom. The Christians, the early church, they frequently and often would say amen. But here in this passage, and I want us to note this because we're going to know what it actually signifies. But I want to read verse 14. Where Jesus referred to himself as the Amen. And under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Amen is one of those Hebrew words. Actually, it's a word that's transliterated. It's not actually translated. The translation is used on occasion where the translators wanted to interpret it for us or to translate it for us. But amen signifies something that is true, something that is faithful, something that is certain. There's a deep understanding of the word by the use of it of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament or throughout the Bible as far as that's concerned. There are various occasions where Jesus would want to make some certain point or where it would carry some power or some authority. Anytime someone was conversing in a conversation and they wanted to put great emphasis of authority or integrity to the word, the statement that they were about to make, they would say, amen. If you turn like in John chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, most of us are familiar with those passages of Scripture where Jesus said, verily, verily. The word verily, verily is amen. It's not transliterated like it is in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. It's translated. And it's saying truly, truly, or verily, verily. But actually, Jesus said in the original text, amen, amen. Why? Because I think its use in this particular passage of Scripture, in John chapter 5, verse 24, and other places in the Bible, it carries a sense of meaning of asserting some faithful truth. Anytime somebody wanted to assert their authority or their power or their integrity behind a statement, they would say, amen. And when it's used in a double sense, and frequently Jesus did that, it's a double certainty, a double accuracy. He puts great emphasis on the fact that these statements are true. Now, all the statements of Jesus Christ are true. All of them. And so when he said amen, amen to a certain statement, he was declaring or asserting its accuracy. Amen takes on various forms throughout the scripture. The Holy Spirit uses it, first of all, as asserting authority or certainty or accuracy. Other places in the scripture, it's used with respect to consent. Somebody consenting, agreeing with. Paul frequently used it with respect to getting the agreement of those that he was writing to when he wrote to the people at Corinth in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. In the book of Romans, the first chapter is another place where he was getting the consent of the people that the things that he was saying to be so. I was at a service here a while back and a preacher was preaching, and I know he was having reference to me. And he made reference to preachers asking for amens and how wrong that was. And, you know, preachers have a lot of critics. I just said, get in line. You know, just get in line. But Paul did that. I figured if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. So occasionally I'll try to get your consent. Don't you agree with this? And I'll say, amen. And sometimes those amens that Paul used had an exclamation mark behind them. You may disagree with me about that, but that's my feeling, my interpretation. But Paul would use it with respect to trying to get consent. Another place that is used in the Old Testament, when you look in the book of Numbers, look in Numbers chapter 5, verse 22. There we read about a particular law that Moses gave regarding the drink of or water of jealousy. In other words, if a man thought his wife was cheating on him, and he was jealous and thought that she was having some inappropriate contact with another man, he could take her before the priest. And the priest would go and take some dust from the floor of the tabernacle and mingle it with some holy water and set it before her. And if she drank that and said, amen, amen, and consented to the consequences of that bitter water, then her thigh would rot and her belly would swell if she was having inappropriate contact with another man. But if she was innocent, then her thigh would not rot and her belly would not swell. Notice there in that particular passage of Scripture in Numbers, for instance, there where it says that she would give consent. Now, we've all done that. Numbers 5 and 22, we've gone to the hospital and we've signed the consent form. Basically, you're saying if they kill you, that's all right. You know, we're not held accountable or responsible for any malfunction or wrong thing that takes place, it seems. But we do that. We give consent. And in this particular law, there was a consent. The woman would have the water set before her, and she would say, amen, amen. I consent to what happens. I consent to this process. If I drink this water and I'm lying, then I will suffer whatever consequences God pours out upon me. Well, let me read that passage to you. Numbers chapter 5, verse 22. I think I marked it here. Numbers chapter 5, verse 22. And this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy belly to make thy belly swell and thy thigh to rot, and the woman shall say, amen, amen. So, we've noticed that amen is used, first of all, to assert authority or accuracy or certainty. Also, it is used to give consent. Throughout the New Testament, it's used in that way. We notice like in, let's go back to the Old Testament. There's another place in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. Remember there where the people of Israel, Moses told the people of Israel to divide the tribes on two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And they were to stand on both sides, and there was the reading of the curses and the blessings. Remember that? And the cursings were read, and the people had to give consent. They had to say amen. All the people said amen. God's law was declared, and the people consented to it. They agreed with it. Now, whether you realize or not, when you join the church, you give your consent to all the rules and regulations of the church. You give your consent to conform your life to what the scriptures teach. We live in a day where people apparently think that they can join the church without giving consent to the rules and regulations of God. This is not our church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you join the church of the true living God, you give your consent to what He has taught us and the laws and regulations which He rules us. Just like the people of Israel, they gave consent to the laws and the commandments of God. The cursings and the blessings were read on those two separate mountains, and all the people said, Amen. We should do that to the things of Christ. Surely the church of the true and living God, those that have been saved by the grace of God, those that have followed the Lord in baptism, surely to goodness, they give consent to all the things that Jesus has taught us and commanded us. There's another passage in Nehemiah 8 and 6 where Ezra was reading and the law, and he got to the point to where he just began to worship Jehovah, and he made some declarations about Jehovah being a great God, and all the people answered, Amen! And they lifted up their hands. Isn't God great? Isn't He a great God? So, it's used throughout the New Testament and the Old for asserting certainty. It's used to describe a consent, us consenting to something. It's also used as a petitioning. You might recall in the 6th chapter of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told us that when we pray, we need to use at the end of it the word Amen. Right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others. He went on a little further and said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. In our praying, in our petitioning the Father, we are encouraged. No, we are commanded. We are taught to use it in the end of a prayer. Amen. Amen. Do you realize that in the ancient church or in the first century church, some of the church fathers used to say that the early church, when they met together and they prayed, that at the conclusion of a prayer, that the amen was so intense by the people, so loud, it was like a clap of thunder. They in unison would say, Amen. You don't hear that much in the church nowadays, do you? At the end of a prayer? But didn't Jesus teach us to do that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16. We read there about Paul reprimanding the church at Corinth about their speaking in tongues. He said, if you come together and you're speaking in a different language, he said, and you know, maybe you get up and you pray, or you testify in a different language there in 14th chapter of Corinthians. And he says, if you come together and people don't understand that language, if you're speaking in Japanese or you're speaking in French or you're speaking in Spanish and you get up and testify or you pray, he says, and people don't understand, how can those that don't understand what you're saying in the church at Corinth say amen? So, they did it in the first century. Jerome wrote that was like a clap of thunder. One of the early church fathers, Paul, said the people at Corinth frequently said amen in the giving of thanks when they understood what was being said. But notice in our text, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, here Jesus identifies himself as the Amen. I believe all three of these things apply in the three different ways that I find it used in the Bible in asserting a particular truth, in consenting to a particular thing, and in petitioning or in supplication. I believe Jesus Christ is the Amen. When it comes to the will of God, God's will has been asserted and consented to by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Son. Not only that, but the will of God, as well as the Word of God, has been given to us through His Son. We know the Father through the Son. These things are not only asserted to us, but they are also declared to us in what He did. He asserts the will of God. He asserts the Word of God. He is constantly called the Logos, or the Word. He consented to do the will of God in its design, in its purpose, in providing us a plan of redemption. Jesus consented to do that. He gave Himself. He, of His own volition, of His own will, consented and surrendered Himself to the will of the Father. He said, I come not to do my own will, but I come to do the will of Him who sent me. Came to do the will of the Father. So, what does Jesus do? I believe Jesus Himself, in His birth, in His life, in His death, He gives an amen to the will of God. He gives an amen to the Word of God, for every word that He ever spoke came with force, power, and authority. I'll tell you what kind of amen Jesus had when He spoke, when He said, take up thy bed and walk. People had to take up their bed and walk. Yes. He is the Amen with the force and power. His prayer and His petitions that were offered up on our behalf, He still intercedes for us. Listen, if you get anything from God, you've got to get it through Jesus. He told us on one occasion, He said, if you ask anything of my Father in my name, Amen. I'm telling you, He's the Amen of our praying and of our petitions that are offered up. Let's think about this a little deeper. Let's think about how that Jesus Christ, first of all, He is the Amen of God's divine purpose. You know, there was a day before all days when there was no day but the Ancient of Days. A time before all times when He who made all things was alone. And God, according to His infinite foreknowledge, before anything was ever created, knew that man would need a Savior. Amen. Don't ask me about foreknowledge and predestination, okay? All I know is God knew. He knew all things from beginning to end. He knew that man would fall in the garden. And He determined, He decreed the counsel of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They came together and they devised a plan of redemption, that man might be delivered from his sins, that he might be saved from the damnations of hell. And that amen that came on that glorious occasion was by the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He secured our redemption before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that Jesus is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He agreed to come when God orchestrated this plan of redemption. Jesus agreed to carry it out. He said, I am the Amen. He's the Amen before the world ever began. He validated that plan, didn't He? Oh, it was so secure that Adam could get saved through it. Yeah, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Moses, Abraham, all those Old Testament characters, every single one of them, they were saved through the blood of Jesus. Every purpose of that eternal determinate counsel of God was stood fast and firm by the gift of Jesus Christ coming. So he was God's amen to God's divine purpose to save us. He also is the amen of all those prophecies. I mean, there's a long list of prophets that prophesied of the salvation of man through the Messiah. Yeah, Isaac and Ezekiel, and I could go through all the list of the prophets. Paul summed it up for us, though, didn't he? Peter did rather in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, where he said, "To him gave all the prophets witness." All the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. All these servants of God that testified of Jesus, all the prophecy concerning his birth, him being born a virgin, born of a Virgin Mary, him being born in Bethlehem, all the prophecies concerning his life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascending to glory, him seated at the right hand of the Father, all of those are amen by Jesus. Amen. What about all that stuff in the Old Testament? What about all the priestly types? Isn't Jesus the amen of all the priestly types? All that blood that was shed, the morning and the evening lamb, the red heifer, the turtle dove, the two young pigeons, the blood that stained the altar, the sacrifice of the bullock, the scapegoat, the sprinkling of blood in the Old Testament. All of these things Jesus is the amen of. Men believed them when they gave the sacrifices. They avowed that they believed in God, but at the same time it declared to man that there would be a sacrifice provided. Jesus is the amen. He is the sacrifice that has been provided. What about the precepts of the law? And Jesus is amen of the law. Huh? Amen. Listen, just for a moment. Number one. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Have you done that? Every moment of your life? Every day of your life? Since you were born? Since you were conceived? Have you loved the Lord with all that you are? No. Every person in this auditorium today has transgressed that law. Amen. We're transgressors. We're sinners. Listen to what the law says. The law says, the soul that sinneth shall die. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Condemnation. We deserve judgment. But you know, Jesus is the amen of that judgment. He not only fulfilled the law, he not only kept the law, but he became the judicial consequences of the law for us. Don't you realize he took your place? He became your substitute. When you see him on Golgotha, Golgotha is the amen of the law. They're beaten and whipped. They're mocked and despised. They're rejected and scorned. We see Jesus as the amen of the law. You deserve to be smitten. You deserve to be afflicted because you've transgressed the law of God, but he took your place. Amen. See, God is a just God. He couldn't do away with his justice. You broke the law. You transgressed the law. You're a transgressor. You're a sinner. The consequences is death. And Jesus died for you that you would not suffer the penalty and the consequences of the law. Can you say this morning that Jesus Christ is the amen of the law for you? Amen. Huh? Amen.
that he took your place, the substitutionary atonement for your sins, for your transgressions, for your evil and iniquity that you've committed. Jesus took your place. He bore your sins on the cross. All the precepts of the law, Jesus, he's the amen of the penalty. Amen of the penalty. So let it be upon me. It gets that personal, doesn't it? I mean, he actually and literally took our place. He not only kept the law, he was sinless. Amen? He fulfilled the... He kept the moral law. He fulfilled the ceremonial law. He became our substitute of the judicial law. He took our place. Not only that, but I believe he's the amen of the promises that we find in the Bible. I've got to deal with this. I've got to touch on this subject. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, just for a moment. There Paul writes something concerning the covenant of promises. How that he not only asserts them, but how that he is also the one who consented to carrying out the covenant for us. Listen, if you're in a covenant relationship with God, the only way you can be in a covenant relationship with God is through the covenant that Jesus kept with the Father. Amen. I know that's a little deep. If you study that out, that's the truth. Salvation covenant was between Father and Son. That's why we're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We get in because of Him. We reign with Him. It's because of Him that we have our sins blotted out and we enjoy the glory that we do. He said that all the promises, look there in verse 20, all the promises of God, every single one of them, are in Him. They're in Jesus. All the promises are in Him and are yea, and in Him, amen. He said they're in Him. Where's eternal life? Eternal life's in Him. Amen? Is eternal life in Jesus? Or is it in Allah? Or is it in some other religion? Muhammad, I don't know. Do you guys believe that? If you believe that eternal life's through Jesus Christ, say amen this morning, would you?
Amen.
Amen. Our salvation is in Him. All the promise, if we go to heaven, it's because of Him. It's us being in Him. All the promises, the covenant promises, if you're ever justified in the sight of God, if you're ever regenerated, if you are ever reconciled, if you're ever forgiven, if you ever have fellowship with the Father, it'll be through Him.
Amen.
He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by who? By Him. There's a power associated with this. I had 7 P's I was dealing with. This is number 6. There's a power. There's a power associated with the amens. You know what the last word in the Bible is? Amen. Twice it's used by John. John, says, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And he says, amen. And then he says, grace be unto you. And he says, amen, amen, amen. Everything that Jesus has done. Listen, we need to accredit truth. I realize some of you are not accustomed to saying amen. I know it's a stretch. Not all of you can be like Brother JT. I miss him when he's not here. All right. But I believe young and old, male and female, everyone who finds the truth to be a truth of certainty that other people around need to grasp, you can confirm it, you can consent to it, you can help assert it, it can be your petition that they might have that eternal life that's being spoken of when you say amen. All three of those things can transpire with your agreement and your consent. That the promises of God, there's a power associated with this. Jesus is the amen of the new Jerusalem. He is the amen of the new heaven and the new earth. Isn't he? He's the certainty of it. He's the one that will bring it about. He will be the judge. He will be the destroyer of this world when the Lord Jesus comes with power and great glory. People will recognize him as Lord.
Amen.
They'll recognize it. They sure will. See, Jesus is the amen. We read about in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, where it talks about letting this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found fashioned as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. I tell you, there's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Power. Of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. I tell you what, even in the demonic realm, Jesus is Lord.
Yes,
he is. Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. One of these days, every person that's ever lived, every demon that's been created, the devil himself will bow his knee and Jesus will be exalted and everybody will know that he is Lord and they'll say amen to it. There's coming a glorious day when Jesus lift up ye gates and ye everlasting doors and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? I'll tell you who the King of glory is. It's Jesus Christ. He who died for us and resurrected on the third day. He is the King of glory. And one of these days the world and all the spiritual beings will recognize him as Lord and everyone will give their consent. Let me close. Jesus is not only the amen of divine purpose, amen of prophecy of the Old Testament and New. He is the amen of all the priestly types that we find in Scripture. He's the amen to the precepts of the law. He's the amen of the promised covenant that we have with the Father. He's an amen of power that we can consent to and experience and enjoy in our own lives. But you know, there has to be a personal amen.
Yes, it
does. I don't know if I can describe this or not. Pray the Lord help me. He has to be the amen in us. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying in this? Jesus is the amen not only for us, but he has to be the amen inside of us.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Hold on. I'm talking about when you look up to Jesus, convicted of your sins, understanding that you have transgressed the law of God, in need of a Savior and in need of forgiveness. When you look up to him and you need forgiveness, he becomes the amen of that forgiveness deep down in your soul when he saves you.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, when you throw yourself on the rock of ages, you feel the inward joy and peace flow through your soul. When you believe in Christ, you hear the amen. That he's your Savior. Amen. Yeah, you hear the amen. God lets you know in your heart when you're saved. Listen, if you're going through life and you're wanting to get to heaven and you're trying to get there apart from Jesus Christ, if he is not your amen, salvation is wholly of Jesus Christ and his redeeming blood. It's of his merit that we have eternal life. It's not of our own merits. We cannot work our way into heaven. It's what Jesus did for us and not what we do that gets us in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. And I tell you, when you come to the end of yourself, If you've been seeking the Lord and you want eternal life, when you come to the end of yourself and you really repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll hear a spiritual amen in your soul. That all of the promises and all the blessings of God that are in Christ Jesus are yours to enjoy. Right to the church of Laodicea. Jesus said, I am the amen. I'm the amen. Well, I'm sure I didn't handle that message like Calvin Perigo handled it 27 years ago. Fortunate to have his grandson with us today. But preachers are still preaching about the amen. Amen of the Bible. The amen in heaven. The amen in our hearts. He's still the amen at church. I want to encourage you. I know my voice has probably become mundane. I've been here a long time. And you're not amen in the man. The one fella said that when you say amen, you sound like sick him to a dog for a preacher. He'll preach himself to death. I encourage you to go over some of them churches over in East Tennessee. If I preached over there, I'd probably preach 4 or 5 hours. They'd preach like I fell on the floor dead. As much as they amen and they hallelujah and get with it. You know, they get right in there with the message. A little more laid back in Middle Tennessee. But I want to encourage you, when truth needs to be asserted and confirmed in the presence especially of sinners, if you give your consent and you want to put it forth as a petition to the Father that that person might be saved and come to know that truth as well, you need to, with your own voice, say, amen.